When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Come on, Cavs. Gotta make it happen. We're here. It's a Sunday. And we're here to talk Cavs, right, Joe?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what happened this afternoon, but how about that win last night? That was
one good one. Absolutely. Two-game winning streak for the Cavs. They just dominated the Pistons. Somehow came back last night and won again, two in a row. But seriously.
Cleveland as a playoff team.
I'm your host. Oh my gosh, you would say that. Damn it. I'm your host, Josh Fulha. Co-host, Joe Gilbert. We're back to talk Browns, I guess. I wish it wasn't. The Browns just got embarrassed in Foxborough, 45-7 to the Patriots in a game that they were out-coached, out-executed, out-played, out... I mean, anything, any word that you can say... For an embarrassing
loss. They weren't out-punted.
Welcome to Cleveland Browns football since 1999. But yeah, so we're here. Another edition of the Browns Instant Insights. We're trying to make things, I don't know. I honestly, I know 2 weeks ago I said I didn't want to be here. I think I don't want to be here even more today. But we're here every Sunday. Well, every post-game. So here we are. We're live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. This podcast is presented by the Evergreen Podcast Network, and I mean, I'm trying to think positively about the Browns, but when Brian Hoyer outthrows Baker Mayfield with only three pass attempts, that perfectly describes how bad things were in Foxborough today. Yeah. Joe, first thought, I mean, I hope you have more words than I do, because mine are just going to be super negative. So,
well, yeah, not much positive today. This felt like a Hugh Jackson type game where you.
Oh my gosh, you just had to bring that up, didn't you?
I had to. I'm sorry. They were beaten pretty much every single fashion, coaching, execution, just talent, play wise. It was horrible. They were never in the game except after that first drive. We're at a point right now where it's really looking like this team is what it is. Their record kind of represents what they are. They're an average team right now. They can get better, I would hope, but right now it's bad. The defense last week was a mirage, and we talked about it last week where we thought maybe this was a turnaround and they had to show it more than 1 week, and they didn't. They completely collapsed. They made Mac Jones look like a elite Tom Brady type quarterback, and it was bad. It was embarrassing. It was the Cardinals game was embarrassing. This was the Pittsburgh game was embarrassing. This was probably the most embarrassing because they were never in the game except after that touchdown drive. It was
the fact that we can have an argument about what games were more embarrassing this year tells you all you need to know about the recent weeks. I mean, I don't even know. I don't know. Like, if you fire, I know we can talk about this for hours and hours, but if you fire Joe Woods, does that improve a lot? I mean, I know I even told you prior to the podcast, Ohio State lost on, I know I'm going to bring up Ohio State while talking Browns. They lost to Oregon week two of the season. Ryan Day decided not to fire defensive coordinator Kerry Coons, but he moved him up to the press box instead of on the field and brought in Matt Barnes, who was a special teams coach a couple years ago, now is a cornerbacks coach. And just like a new face on the sidelines, it seems to improve the defense. So I'm not saying that Joe Woods could be moved up to the press box. Like if he's not on the sidelines, he's going to be fired. But a move like that in season, will that really help? I guess it's possibly a question that will get answered in the next week or two if things continue to go down this road. But I mean, I didn't think. I mean, it's Foxborough. Even if like the Patriots suck, it's still like that mind game where it's Foxborough, the game in Foxborough. And I know Jake Burns discussed prior to this podcast on the OBR podcast, which they do a great job on Twitch, but about how this game had so many playoff implications. Like with the win, the Browns had like a 78% chance of making the playoffs. With the loss, they had like a 36% chance. And the same thing for the Patriots. And the Patriots took advantage of the opportunity, and the Browns basically just let them do whatever they wanted today, both offensively and defensively. I mean, it's third down defense. It can't get much worse than their third down. I know that. Yeah. I think I'm pretty sure Mac Jones and the Patriots were 6 for 6 on third downs to start. Mm-hmm. And the seventh one, the Browns had to stop, but it was called a pass interference. So basically their first 7 third downs turned into first downs. And when you can't get off the field, it's over.
Yep. Yep. And that's been the problem for both sides of the ball, actually. The third down is just a nightmare for this whole team. They can't get off the field on defense, and then on offense, if it's third and long, it's pretty much just get your punt team out there. It's bad right now, but there's not a lot of answers right now. Like, they're either not executing, they're not doing the right play call. It's a number of things, and you talked about Joe Woods and seeing it. At this point, he needs to be gone. The writing's on the wall. The players' quotes after this game were pretty eye-opening. There's numerous guys talking about how there wasn't any adjustments happening. At this point, he needs to go. Even if it doesn't even affect him this year, he needs to go. This is 2 years of just bad defense. You get maybe little bright spots here and there, but overall it's just an inconsistent, bad unit that just gets outcoached every week and pretty much outplayed every week. And it's the same problems affecting the defense every single week. They cannot get off the field. They just cannot get off the field on third down. And that's on coaching. If you continue to just have the same problems affect you without making any adjustments, it just ends up falling on the hands of the coaches. And Joe Woods needs to go. I don't like making people lose their jobs, but this is bad. This is embarrassing, and it's the same problems every week. So hopefully they make a change, see if that can do something this year. But yeah, he's just not the defensive coordinator to lead this team going forward.
Yeah, and I know Joe brought up the players will never say like, hey, this coach needs to be fired. Mm-hmm. But if you read between the lines,
they'll insinuate it.
And John Johnson III after the game said, we went back to a bunch of plays we got hit on all year.
Yeah.
Which he's basically saying we didn't make any adjustments.
Like, we still have not figured out how to beat that. So, and that's on coaching.
That's on coaching. And then Myles Garrett, we have to go back to the drawing board and see how we can get better, see how we can scheme better, see how we can make adjustments on the fly. We never had a chance because we didn't make any adjustments on the sideline or when we had time to. Myles Garrett said it with more detail. Him and John Johnson III both said basically said the same thing, where they're literally blaming their defensive coordinator.
And those are probably your two biggest leaders on that defense. Myles Garrett being your best defender, best player on the overall team, and I don't know what else to talk about, what else to say. That he just is not good. He's just not a good coach. The evidence outweighs any argument you can make. They just have been bad for 2 years now, and it's not getting better. We thought maybe we keep getting these like glimpses of hope, like last week where the defensive line just dominated, but it's just an inconsistent unit that just does not get better over time, and Woods needs to go. It's time.
Yeah, not only did they dominate on third down, the Patriots were 7 of 9 on third down. I know they at least started 6 for 6, but let's be honest. Once it was 6 for 6, I think it was already basically garbage time. I mean, the whole second half, let's be honest, was garbage time. It was 24-7, but I felt I could have chalked up as a loss by halftime. But not only was it third downs, but like Jamie Gillen, who has struggled this year at times, had two fantastic punts, punting or putting the Patriots offense back within the 10-yard line. And the Patriots, in turn, middle of the second quarter, 6-minute, 11-play drive, 99 yards, leads to a touchdown. So they were literally, it was a nine, to be exact, it was 99 and a half yards, if we're being exact here.
Yeah.
And then middle of the third quarter, when the score's 31-7, he pins him back inside at the 8-yard line. Patriots, in turn, 8-play, 92-yard drive, leads to a touchdown. If you allow multiple 90-plus yard drives, that's a problem, no matter what else happens. I mean, the writing's on the wall. It's, when you have to make excuses as to why Joe Woods should be the defensive coordinator going forward, that's all you need to know.
Yeah. And the stats that are, like, kind of protecting the Browns defense that are making them look a lot better than they are, after this week, it's going to it's going to fall off a ledge here. Because if people looked at, like, oh, they haven't given up that many yardage, they were one of the, like, lowest allowed yards for this week. They just got blown out. Just gave up so many yards, and it was just bad. And the defense is just, it's just bad, and there's no way around it. It was kind of laughable before the game. I forget which one on the CBS pregame show ranked as a top five defense. Like, if as Browns fans, we all watched every game this year. This is not a top five defense. They may play like it one game, but overall, this is not even close to it. This is more close to a bottom five defense than a top five, and that's a shame, because this defense has talent. We talked about it so many times, and it just hasn't clicked. And we're gonna see, hopefully, changes this during the season, but during the off season, there's gonna be a lot of changes there too.
And Andrew Berry and company thought that maybe it was the players last year, so they've spent a bunch of money on the players and a bunch of draft capital on bringing in new players, and it clearly isn't the players. The talent's there, the execution and the coaching is not. I mean, maybe you could say, like, Myles Garrett should be able to do more, but I mean, when he's getting double teamed and you still, like, don't know how to scheme things against that, even the Patriots, they said it multiple times during the game. The Patriots literally must have just watched the Steelers tape and been like, the Browns can't stop a run between its tackles. So that's what they did all game. And then sometimes they'd throw a screen toward Myles Garrett because they knew that Myles Garrett would be rushing the quarterback, because you don't make adjustments. That's Joe Woods. So you throw a screen that way, wide open. And then what? So Hunter Henry, wide open multiple times. It's just crazy how easy the Patriots offense might look.
Oh, they made it so easy, yeah. And they you got to give credit, obviously, to Bill Belichick, because he just mastered it. They knew what the defense was all about. And we've seen it all year. If the defensive line doesn't dominate this team, this unit is going to just get trounced. And that happened today. They did everything to just take away that defensive line from attacking. They threw so many quick passes, so many quick screens, so many like reverses, outside runs, and all that, and it just took the defensive line out of the game. And once that happened, the secondary, we've seen the secondary problems all year. It was just a mess, and that side of the ball, it was just a complete outcoached by the Patriots. They had every answer for this defense, and the Browns, as you can hear from Myles Garrett, they had no answers.
Yeah, and I mean, every team has a bad loss. Like, the Buccaneers just lost today to a Washington football team that was without Chase Young, who probably tore his ACL, which stinks as an Ohio State fan. So the Buccaneers have a bad loss. The Ravens just lost to the Dolphins on Thursday night. The Steelers just somehow tied. I mean, yeah, they were without Ben Roethlisberger and Chase Claypool, but they somehow just tied the winless Detroit Lions at home, which we will talk about the Detroit Lions here in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, this is such a weird NFL year. The underdogs are covering the spreads at like a 70% clipper. It's something weird. But like, so as like the Chiefs are straight, it's just weird stuff like that. But it's for the Browns, it's the same continuous problems week in and week out. I mean, there's some outliers, like the Browns defense played well against the Bears, they played well last week against the Bengals. But when it's more often than not that they're doing the same exact thing and not making adjustments, it's a problem.
Yep. Yep. And it just, it's frustrating to watch. And especially for, because the AFC looks, and the division looks like kind of wide open. And it's just frustrating to see that they're not taking advantage.
The AFC. I mean, oh, speaking of weird, a weird year, the Bills just lost to the freaking Jets last week. And scored in that 6 points. The AFC has never been more wide open than it is, it is right now. And it sucks that the Browns aren't taking advantage of it.
Nope. They just kind of squandered it. And obviously there's still almost half a season left, but right now they're not playing like a team that's worthy of making a run here. But I don't know. It's just frustrating to watch.
We still have seven teams left. I just realized that. Oh, man.
Hey, we got the Lions next week.
Yeah, that's another thing. What else? So the Lions tied the Patriots. The Lions tied the Steelers today, so they're still winless. So technically, I won't even bring it up, but this might not be rock bottom yet.
Please.
If don't. What don't if what that, happens next, like if. It would be only in Cleveland, because it literally is only in Cleveland next week. Browns against the winless Lions. Joe and I might just hop on here and literally just talk about the Cavs.
Oh my goodness. Who have a better record than the Browns right now? Who saw that coming?
Yeah, they have more wins than the Browns and basically the same amount of games.
Yeah. Did not see that coming, but
Evan Mobley will look pretty good as a tight end for the Browns. He'd be a little too skinny, but man, imagine.
Oh, well, yeah, man. I would like the effort out of if the Cavs could transfer the effort level to the Browns, would be real nice too.
True.
We saw some effort that was less than ideal late, especially second half. It was not a good showing, and I know we talked about the defense, but the offense was just as putrid too.
Yeah, I was just saying we need to talk about the offense, even though there's not really much to talk about.
Yeah, it was bad. The coaching staff had a great start to it, great scripted drive, and then they just completely I don't know what happened. It was bad. The coaching staff. Stefanski had a bad play calling day again, and it was bad. They were running right down their throat on that first drive, and then they kind of abandoned it. I know they got behind, but still, they just didn't do anything that worked on that first drive after that. It was weird. This offense, I think someone tweeted out that this is like the fifth time in the last seven games where they scored just like 17 points or something like that. It's an offense that's struggling. And it's hopefully Chubb and Hunt come back and they can help kind of get this team unit going. But Baker was bad. Offensive line was bad in pass protection. There was not much good to be found on that side of the ball. I don't know if Baker should play next week, because he's just a walking injury right now.
Injury.
It really is. Like, now it's like his third different injury. Like, I think he said he hurt his other knee. Which is just like, it's incredible just how many injuries he's, especially with the Lions. If they can't beat the Lions with Case Keenum, there's no point of keeping Case Keenum then, and then there's no point of even trying to Case Keenum should be the starter next week. Just give him a rest again. Because we saw last week giving Baker a rest kind of helped. So, this Oh my god.
Looking back at the schedule, the Browns have scored 17 points or less in 5 of their 10 games this year.
Yeah.
In this day and age, if you can't score 17 points or more, there's I'm willing to guess, I don't know analytics or the probability, I'm willing to guess that you lose 95% of the time.
Yeah.
If you can't score 3 touchdowns.
Can we just watch the highlights of that Chargers game?
Seriously.
Like, what the hell happened to that team?
And like, a friend of the show, Adam Cerny. Hey, Josh, this offense needs to score more points. Boom.
Yes, it does.
If only it was that simple. It's not, unfortunately. And like I said earlier,
points.
Like I said earlier, I mean, Baker's clearly hurt.
Yeah.
I want Baker to be successful. But when backup quarterback Brian Hoyer throws more yards and has the same amount of touchdowns as a Browns starting quarterback with only 3 pass attempts, it's a problem, whether it's garbage time or not.
And Baker had a quote after the game, which kind of was like one of the most honest quotes he's given about his injuries. Like let's see if I can pull it up here. It was one of the most eye-popping ones, because usually he says, "Oh, I'm fine enough to play," or something like that. And here he said, "I've got to find a way to get healthy as possible. Pretty beat up right now. We'll see. Awkward landing." So it was your quarterback is just seriously health-wise and just mentally-wise, he just seems like a broken quarterback right now. And
yep.
I don't know how much help it would be to put him out there, especially when he's hurt it even more than this week coming in. We're just in a tough spot, man.
I mean, the bye week is what? Week 13? So it's 2 more games. So the bye week is 3 weeks from – or their bye open week is 3 weeks from today, right?
There's 2 games
left. Yeah, 3 weeks from today, week 13. Yeah. So maybe sit him. Oh man, but they play the Ravens.
They can't sit. I don't think that this is where the tough spot is. Like, I don't see them sitting them versus the Ravens, but it would probably be the smartest thing to set them down in the next 3 weeks. But I don't think you can. It's just, not fun, man. It's,
Just when we thought we were going to have a really fun Browns year and do this on a weekly basis.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It turns into something like this.
Yep.
There's still 7 games left.
They're still in the playoff hunt, which is.
Yeah, exactly. They're still in the playoff hunt. But it's just like, I don't even know what to say.
It's trending downward as well.
It is. It is trending downward for sure. Yeah. Not even a question.
Yeah. This is another moment for Stefanski to see what he's got as a coach, to see if he can right the ship, because it's a dark timeline right now. They just got absolutely blown out by probably a playoff contender there, and it's just another game where they have not even competed well in a game where they're playing a playoff contender, and it's bad.
It's a dark timeline now, but I'm just saying, I'm not trying to jinx anything, but it's not as dark as it can be. Next Sunday it might be the darkest it's ever been.
We as Browns fans know how dark it can get. If they lose the Lions, we're talking draft next week, and we're talking draft the rest of the season. So we'll just put that out there now.
As I joked with Joe before the show, if they lose the Lions, Joe and I will get on here every Sunday post game, but we'll literally only talk about the Cavs.
By the way, 9-5 Cavs. I think they're in 4th place right now. Evan Mobley looks like a stud.
Speaking of that, we do need to hop on here and talk about the Cavs sometime. Jeff Nomina, former WFMY contributor and now just like hot take master, has literally said since midsummer, I'll hop on the WFMY podcast with you and talk Cavs. Here we are. Cavs are what, 4 weeks into the season? 3 weeks into the season? Have you guys seen a Josh and Nom podcast yet? Nope. He's one of those guys where, like, he says he's going to do something. He's like, no, I have the kids tonight. I'm busy tonight. Let's do it next week. And then I talk to him next week. No, I'm busy tonight. Let's do it next week. So, Jeff, if you're listening, I'd love to talk Cavs. Me, you, and Joe. Maybe Andrew will hop on with us. But, like, I need something positive to talk about. So either the Cavs or Ohio State, literally anything non-Browns that is currently in the season in Ohio, mm-hmm. in Northern Ohio, I'm good.
Yep. What a change from last weekend, man.
Man, what a bad – oh, I have to bring this up, too. What a bad weekend football-wise for you, huh?
Sure, I knew you were going to bring that up.
Man, Medina beating St. Ignatius, the Browns getting owned. A bad weekend of football in the Gilbert household.
But a good one in basketball land.
Oh, man. Offense stinks.
Yeah, there's the defense not much stinks. To say. Like, it's
Jimmy Gillen had two good punts today. Yeah. Let's see Jimmy Gillen's final stats today.
And not to rain on Jamie Gillen's parade. The not catching the punt was the worst two decisions I've ever seen a punt returner. He just let that thing bounce and roll for 10-20 yards. Happens.
That's okay. Let it happen. He had four punts safe for 47.3 yards. He was one of the bright spots. I'd say another one was Dearness Johnson. 19 carries, 99 yards as the third string running back. I'll take that. It's just that literally besides Dearness, the offense didn't do shit, if we're being honest.
Yeah, and they kind of abandoned the run after the first drive, it seemed like, on a consistent basis, at least. I don't know what happened.
Oh, yeah, speaking of first drive, so I went back, and if my math is correct, they had 84 yards on that opening touchdown drive. They had 116 yards the rest of the game. So it's easy to script.
And how many on that last?
Which is what you.
How many on that last in the second half when they were down like 30?
Let's see. 21, 76. So that's 97. 20 is 17. Wait, no, that can't be right.
Let's see. They had
They had 166 the rest of the game. My bad. Not 116, yeah. 166. So, yeah, two drives of the first half were negative 5 yards and negative 9 yards.
Yeah. And the 76 of those yards came in that drive when they were down 38-7. So that shows just how much success they had on offense.
It's like, and like awful. Anyone, okay, not anyone. Any NFL head coach or offensive coordinator can script a drive, which, let's be honest, Kevin Stefanski is great at doing that. The Browns opening drives have been really good most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes a special head coach and a special coordinator to be able to make adjustments in game. And the Browns just haven't been able to do that on both sides of the ball.
And they seemed like they made all the wrong ones on offense. They abandoned whatever they did on that first drive, and we saw none of that in the rest of the game. It was bad.
And by the way, the Browns just shared Myles Garrett's comments about making in-game adjustments. So Joe Woods, I think if the official team account Joe literally shares the video of the number one of the best defensive ends in NFL, basically, if you read between the lines saying that Joe Woods should be fired, I don't think it's a good look for you.
Does Joe Woods need his own plane home? Is the question. Will he make the plane ride?
Maybe he'll just Uber home.
Yeah. And that is correct, Adam Cerny, that the Cavs did have more points in that first quarter than the Browns, which was not the highlight of the season for the Cavs. Wait, that first one, quarter.
You can see comments? Because whenever I'm on with Kenny Rota for Ohio State, I can't see comments.
I can.
Well, damn it. I wonder how I can see comments for him then, so I can't get blacklisted like I did by my uncle a few weeks ago on Kenny Rota's show. But Cavs had more points in the first quarter than the Browns in the entire game. LOL.
And that was probably their worst quarter of basketball, and they still had more points.
The Cavs literally scored 9 points in the first quarter last night and came back and beat the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, it was. At least we got one fun team in the land right now.
And who would have ever guessed that 3 weeks ago? Right.
And it would be that team. Yes. But
here like we're not talking about the Cleveland Charge or the Cleveland Monsters. We're talking about the freaking Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I cannot believe you just talked for 30 minutes because I literally told myself that I didn't want to talk at all. So here we are. But I don't know what else to say about the Browns. When your MVP is probably your punter, as we know as Browns fans, especially since 1999, that's a huge problem.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was the punter and the kicker were always our MVP from 99 to like what? Whenever Phil Dawson and
2021.
Yeah.
And going.
Like it's that great. And all I have to say is they better freaking win next week. Or God help us all.
If they win next week, this will be me. I'll sit back like this and I'll let Joe do all the talking. So all I'm gonna say is, hello darkness, my old friend.
Hey guys, let's have a positive week. Maybe we'll get Chubb back. Maybe Kareem Hunt will come back, and this offense will be back to normal. Probably not, but we'll see.
If you want to have a positive week, hold on a second. Let's throw it up quick.
0-7-1.
Cleveland fans, if you want to have a positive week, the Cavs play Monday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night. So be sure to tune in Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Potentially don't tune in on Sunday. It will just ruin your positive week.
And just don't look at the opponents of those Cavs because they're playing a murderer's row.
But we won't talk any more Cavs because it's a Browns podcast. But they've had a tough schedule so far. And everyone's like, man, if they can get
and it somehow gets harder.
And they're 9-5. Yeah, but it somehow gets harder. Like, holy cow. Boston, Brooklyn, Golden State, Brooklyn, Phoenix, Orlando, easy. Dallas, Miami, Washington, Utah, Milwaukee, Chicago. Holy cow. 1, 2, 3.
Like
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. The NBA 11 of their next 12 games are against like top 10 teams in the NBA right now.
The NBA just really wanted the Cavs just to get blown out at the beginning of the season. Just wanted them to go away.
Cavs are 9-5. If they are, let's see, if they are 15-12, so if they go 500 during these next 12 games, I will be very excited.
Yeah. This is it's incredible what they've done so far, but this is beyond the fact of but we're on the Browns.
We'll be on here to talk Cavs soon, I promise. We'll be like we'll have smiling faces instead of oh man, we have to be on here again to talk Browns. Because that's how I feel right now.
Yeah.
Until next week. I'm gonna say it again. This is not rock bottom yet. Rock bottom could potentially happen next week. So just like how I said a few weeks ago,
rock bottom, and we're gonna go up from here.
And I'm gonna say this is not rock bottom yet. If you prepare for the worst, you're not as disappointed when it happens.
Wow,
as a Browns fan, you should be used to that. Exactly. I mean, that's my whole life.
The motto of a Browns fan.
Hey, I'll admit it.
Yeah,
but yeah, I know. I think it was last week or the week before I said how this Browns season is such a roller coaster. Last week we were saying, oh man, Joe Woods, great defensive coordinator. Way to stop Joe Burrow. Way to stop Jamar Chase. Now, literally, us and the players are saying Joe Woods needs to be fired and not even come back to Cleveland today. So, like, just always remember, it's a roller coaster, but the only problem is that the roller coaster is trending down right now. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yep. And I just don't know what to say. Just win. That's all I have to say. Just beat the freaking Lions. Please don't do this to us. Please. I'm thanking you.
I'm literally laughing because I'm just imagining us having to sit in this exact spot a week from now if the Browns lose. I literally will hop on here, and this will be me the whole time. I'll do the introduction like I usually do. Shout out to Greg Lindell because I don't know. I don't even know what to say about the Browns. I know we just talked for 35 minutes, but it's just crazy how they had such high expectations. And now, even if they went out, they're only going 12-5, which I think is what I projected in the to get to. And there's no, let's be honest, there's no chance they went out. No shot. So I mean, but if they want to be a playoff, if they want to be a playoff team,
they do have a chance. It might not be a big chance.
If they want to make the playoffs, though, they have to.
It's right in front of you still. Like it's
they have to finish 5-2.
Yeah,
10-7 might not even make the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how our division implodes, continues to implode. Because this division is, this week was a rough week to be a AFC North team.
Yeah, Cincinnati was somehow the best team this week, and they didn't even play. They had a bye.
Yeah, and the second best team was the team that tied the Detroit Lions. So that's just how it's going right now.
Man, but, the AFC North is so overrated right now. It's crazy.
It is wild. Like before the season, we were like, God, why are we in the AFC North? And now we're like, thank God we're in the AFC North. Because if you look at all the other records in the, you would not be in the close to division if you were in most of the other league, especially in the NFC. NFC, you would be pretty much just, left for dead. But that just gives you a little bit of hope. Just win. That's all I have to say. We'll end up with that. Just win next week.
Hashtag just win. Especially next week. How I will end it, because I'm a Browns fan since I was born in 1991, and I've been able to pay attention since 99 and after.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's not rock bottom yet, you guys. Just remember that. It's not rock bottom yet. So, it's me, Josh Ploha, and Joe Gilbert. Just talk Browns for 36 minutes and Cavs, because we had to bring some positive
Cleveland. Come sports on, Cavs!
Gotta make it happen. But yeah, hopefully we'll be on here and talk Cavs some point soon with Jeff Nomina if he ever decides to come back and share some hot takes with us. Browns are 5-5. They just got embarrassed in Foxborough today to the Patriots, 45-7.
Can they play the Detroit Lions next week?
Yeah,
can we just never play in Foxborough?
They have the Detroit Lions at home. And then are they home against the Ravens or
away?
So it's away at Baltimore.
Yeah.
And then it's a bye week. So hopefully they go 1-1. It'll be awesome if they go 2-0. But they at least need to go 1-0. If they go 0-2, we will be talking the NFL draft for the remaining Browns postgame podcast.
Garrett Wilson looked pretty good on Saturday.
He did. But yeah, thanks for joining us, guys. Sorry we're so super down and super negative, but it just, the Browns are trending downward, and it's just not fun.
Yeah.
Offense, defense, coaching, anything. They're trending downward. So hopefully we can be more positive next week, and thanks for joining us, guys. Go Browns.
Go Cavs.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!